Welcome to the Short Commute Podcast. Pastor Drew, Zach here in my office. Another CRC position statement. This one is creation care.
Okay,
so we're talking about... on the heels of creation and science last week.
Yeah, so goes very well hand in hand, talking about stewardship. And I'm guessing our responsibility as Christians in society to be promoting stewardship and care of creation.
That would be my assumption going in.
Yeah. Is this something that throughout school has been very much pushed for you? Or is this something that is maybe a little bit lower on the list of priorities, just in terms of your own history with it?
I remember as far back as middle school science classes being talked to about pollution, energy consumption, flushing toilets, keeping lights on, you know, taking shorter showers.
Sure. Just using resources.
Yeah, and not being taught a rule, you know, this is how long your shower can be, this is when you can flush, but just to start being thoughtful about, hey, how can I use the energy, or how can I discard waste and garbage in a way that is being thoughtful about the earth?
Yeah, yeah, good. Well, shall we see what the denomination has to say about it?
Well, let's see what the denomination has to say about it. It's one really long paragraph, and we decided to break it up.
Yeah, let's split it up.
So here's half of it. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, says Psalm 24, verse 1. And just as God placed human beings in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it, Genesis 2:15, so the Lord calls us, the crown of his creation, to be stewards of his natural world. As a church, we affirm a commitment to work vigorously to protect and heal the creation of the glory of the Creator as we wait for the restoration of the creation to wholeness. We lament that our abuse of creation has brought lasting damage to the world we have been given, polluting streams and soil, poisoning the air, altering the climate, and damaging the earth. We commit ourselves to honor all God's creatures and to protect them from abuse and extinction, for our world belongs to God. That's half.
That's half of it.
A lot of stuff there already.
Right. It's kind of presented as a mandate to human beings, Christians being called as the forefront of those human beings to care for creation. List some problems in that first section of the paragraph that kind of are pointed directly at human beings in terms of abusing creation, right? So we got polluting streams and soil. Are you going to take responsibility for that on behalf of human beings?
Yeah. I mean,
me too. Yep. It wasn't a trick question. Poisoning the air, yes.
Yep.
Altering the climate, that's the one in the list that I know some people who would dispute that. Sure. But I don't think anyone would argue with the last one, which is more all-encompassing, damaging the earth.
Right.
Right. We interpret God's word as saying, you know, that's unacceptable. You know, we shouldn't be doing that thoughtlessly.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe there's no way around some of the damage to the earth that we do simply by nature of it being a fallen earth inhabited by fallen human beings. But we're definitely called to be mindful of it.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Think of it this way. God gave us a home to take care of. I said, you guys are the landlord of this big giant apartment where lots of organisms live. And he comes back and finds it in the state that it's in today. Are we going to be fired as landlords? Or is he happy with how we've managed it?
That's a really good point. I'm going to throw something at you here.
Okay.
And I want your response on it, because I know you've done a lot of thought. You've done a lot of thinking and a lot of work on eschatology.
Mm-hmm.
How much of a difference does it make? There's two perspectives. There's at least two perspectives in when you look at the Christian landscape. One of them is the world is going to hell in a handbasket, and someday God is going to come and rescue us out of here, and we're leaving.
Sure.
That's the one perspective. And the other perspective is, you know, at some point, Christ is going to return. We are going to meet him in the air and escort him down to this creation, which will be transformed, renewed, refined, like through fire, which is more of an idea that, okay, when the end comes, we're not getting swept up and taken somewhere else, but we will be transformed as well as the creation that, you know, we already live in will be transformed and renewed. Does that make a difference which eschatology you have or which perspective you have in terms of how well you take care of creation?
No, I don't think so.
I think it absolutely does.
Well, it does in the sense that it's. I think it's the same argument. Why do Calvinists care about missions? If God chooses and predestines, why do Calvinists do missions then? Well, because we're called to, because we have a role in the way in which God makes that happen just by his grace. And I think that you can say the same thing to, let's say, premillennials who would argue the world's going to hell in a handbasket, things are going to get worse and worse and worse and worse until God intervenes. And so you could say, well, then why do you care about the earth? You're expecting things to get worse and worse and worse and worse. And I think their response would be, because God told us that we're the ones who work and take care of his creation.
Okay, that's so fair, but functionally, there are plenty of Calvinists who don't care about missions.
That's true.
Even though we're supposed to, and
but that, doctrinally, that has, that's wrong.
But what I'm saying is, functionally, so because we are taught that, you know, God is in charge of grace, and God elects those whom he chooses, then yeah, you know, with that as a framework for us, we're going to be less motivated to do missions.
Yep.
And what I'm saying is, when you feel that the world is going to hell in a handbasket and someday we're going to be rescued out of here, you know, regardless of what God commands us to do, if that's your framework, you're going to be less motivated to really care at all about creation.
That's fair.
Now, I know people, and I don't necessarily know what their perspective is. And this is, you know, this brings up a whole other can of worms, but there are people that I have encountered that refuse to recycle. They refuse to recycle. Why? Because they feel like it's a democratic issue.
What?
Yes, I am dead serious. They think that all of this climate change and humans affecting their environment is all blown up and magnified, you know, and so...
That's really silly.
I think so, too. I think it's terribly ignorant of what we are called to do and who we are called to be in Scripture.
Yeah.
But this is what some of that framework that we have in our head, how that gets perverted. So it becomes an eschatological issue. It becomes a political issue even. And it's almost like, you know what, we're betraying Republicans if we participate in this whole, you know, system where we're...
No, that's silly.
I know.
So when I worked in Waukesha for a little while, one of my routes driving was past a landfill.
Okay.
Oftentimes, when you drive past landfills, they'll have like big mounds, so you can't really see in. But this one was just literally a big giant pile
open
of garbage.
Pit. Oh,
right?
Wow.
And so they would push bulldozers up the pile of garbage and move stuff. And there was a chain link fence around this big pile of garbage. Plastic bags are like caught up in the wind real easily.
Yeah.
So the section of trees in the lot immediately next to it is just covered in plastic bags. And I have said to people before, it bothered me driving past that. And here's why. Because God created that plot of land. And I can't imagine that its original intent was to hold a big giant pile of garbage.
That
God had something better in mind and more beautiful and more life-giving than what we turned it into. Now, if we're going to use stuff, we're going to have to throw stuff away. Why I think that people being bothered with recycling is so silly is because what recycling is, it's recycle. I mean,
right. The
word reusing. Means we can reuse this stuff.
It's redeeming something.
Yeah.
That,
we're taking something that it no longer is useful to us and saying, you know what, instead of just throwing that in that landfill, we can repurpose that.
Right.
We can melt it down. We can smash it down. We can shred it and use it for this other use. Why wouldn't we participate? I mean, that's an obvious thing.
Sure. And I completely agree. I'm just saying what mental frameworks do and how they get perverted, and then people aren't kind of obeying what God commands. But we should probably get on to the second part of the paragraph.
This is gonna be a long one. And so we sort of hammered on that line. We lament that our abuse of creation has brought lasting damage to the world we've been given, polluting streams and soil, poisoning the air, altering the climate, and damaging the earth. So then we sort of go into, okay, What do we do from here? How do we get better? We uphold, so I'm continuing on, we uphold biblical principles of responsible dominion, care, and stewardship of creation, recognizing that our continually growing knowledge about God's world should guide us in our love of God and neighbors, including care for the creation. Even when scientific uncertainties are taken into account, we are compelled to address human-induced climate change as an ethical, social justice, and religious issue. We are therefore called to be voices for justice and public examples in the effort to live sustainably within our God-given resources, to promote stewardship in our own communities and our nations, and to examine energy choices in our daily life and work. From a perspective of stewardship, challenging ourselves to use less energy and to use it more wisely, while seeking justice for the poor and vulnerable among us and for future generations.
Okay.
More controversial, I think.
Why so?
Because we are compelled to address human-induced climate change.
It's kind of elevating one aspect that's more of a, okay, this is something that we are theorizing right now. It's kind of a hot-button issue.
Yeah.
At the expense of some of the other very practical things that we should be doing on a day-to-day basis. Yeah. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. And they even acknowledge there's scientific uncertainties that we need to take into account. But human-induced climate change is so hard for me. I think it's biblical. We talked about that last week. The curse was that we would toil with the earth,
mm-hmm.
right? So we have some responsibility there. But I don't know what I can do, because 5 years ago we're saying the Great Lakes are going to dry up. Have you been to Lake Michigan this summer yet? I mean, there's
yes.
no beach left.
Yeah, you can't say you've gone to the beach.
Yeah, there's no beach left. We have more water than we've had before. And so it's hard for me to say, okay, there's less and less water, so we need to do this. Well, now we have too much water, so I don't know that I have a good enough grasp, or that anyone really has a good enough grasp to be practical about how we deal with it, other than to sort of take a step back where we were in the last paragraph and say, we need to be the best we can at being stewards. So
yeah.
If we know that our waste is going to landfills like this and causing damage to soil, or that this company is putting chemicals out into our lakes and our streams, that's stuff that we should say, obviously, poor stewardship mm-hmm. and poor dominion, deforestation unnecessarily, right? Things like that should bother us, I think, to a greater degree, because we understand and can visualize the harm that's happening. Not to say that we shouldn't study climate change, human-induced climate change, not to say that we shouldn't think about ways in which humans are causing that or helping that. I think that should be happening. But until we have a better grasp on it, I would rather spend more time talking about alternative energies, recycling, ways in which to dispose of our waste.
Mm-hmm.
That seems more useful to me.
And this, well, fair enough. But I think maybe the ultimate point we're trying to make is, and it ties in with the creation and science thing last week. As Christians, you know, we have to understand that Scripture and creation are, you know, telling us the same things, and that we, you know, in essence, have the information we need to act responsibly. When new scientific theories about, for instance, climate change or pollution or whatever it is environmentally related, you know, we shouldn't just, you know, discard that.
No, of course not.
You know, we need to, as Christians, we're called to take that seriously.
That should be of grave concern to us.
And we should not necessarily react immediately and mm-hmm. overreact, but we need to be mindful about that and let it change our behavior.
Yeah,
in ways that are tangible and to the best that we can.
To connect it to last week, we had said that Christians should be on the forefront of science and technology, because we know that science and technology, if it's done ethically and truthfully, will tell us more about who God is.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It will confirm what we know in Scripture.
Sure.
I think we need to apply that here when it comes to things like climate change, alternative energy, simple things like recycling.
Yeah.
Where if someone says, hey, boy, when mankind started using a lot more CO2, we saw a rise in the climate globally. We should say, okay, that's of concern to us. Christians mm-hmm. should be at the forefront of those studies saying, what effect are we humans having on the climate, and how can we do this in the most stewardly way?
Yeah, absolutely.
I guess that ultimately is what this position statement is getting at. It seems to me like we're getting so hung up on the climate change thing, but it does talk about some of these other things we're concerned with. So I don't know where I land here.
Right. Well, this is two theologians talking like scientists, and so
yeah,
maybe we're
out of our depth.
Maybe we've done the best that we can. But as just a thumbnail of what should be taken from this is we need to take creation and our care for creation seriously. And we need to be mindful every day because the world changes that fast.
It's true. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week.